And so if you have questions, I hope you do. David, you have to tell you, you're going to monitor, yes, the questions, answers, and maybe you would sit down here, or come here, and... Δεν αντικειμενισταθείτε. Τώρα στην παράνομη Μωσέ, Μωρασιά και Ιλάκ Ιάκωβ. We are, the Torah is to be interpreted by the people. And therefore when we have no more people, like now we are, the people are no longer congregated in one single area like in the time of the Talmud Bavli, yes, we can no longer have a national opinion. So the last national opinion is the Talmud. And yes, again, Babel and not Israel. Why? Because the majority of the Jews were happened to be in Babel. It is of the people. I mean, I tell you, if I'm not in the Christian, so I would use the word Bachuchamai, or it is the supremacy of the law. A law which is... Yes. Yes. And when I make a mitzvah, I say, why make the mitzvah? I say, Kiddushan of the Zot, obviously, but I have to go ABC.
You should also explain that in addition to Hanukkah,
you
write that the principle was repeated.
Yes.
When the Hanukkah revolution took place, the revolutionaries violated the principle of the revolution.
And then they mentioned that, yeah, of course. Yes.
That the Maccabees and the Hasmoneans usurped their role.
Yeah. And the rabbis never forget that. Never forget that. Yes. And you have to read the book. But
we have some.
Rabbi, you wanted to ask something?
A short question. You mentioned the concept of Rambam that the Talmud Bavli was the last national publication.
That's right.
My question about that was, did they have to institute some sort of Bedin HaGadol?
No, Rabbi Avraham. You missed my Sunday class in India. And the point of Rambam makes is Rabbi Avraham Asher were the Bedin HaGadol. There was a Bedin HaGadol. Yes, there was a Bedin HaGadol. And they had the power of, Kiddush HaHol, etc., etc. Yes? And they were the last national Bedin.
So the last Bedin HaGadol.
The national Bedin.
The nation of Israel.
Yes, and therefore, from the point of view of the Bedin HaGadol, they had more authority than the national Israel.
At that time.
See? They had more this. And you have to read it.
Use the explanation.
Oh, that's a great point. Oh. You have to read this, and it's a great this. Where the Talmud and how the Talmud was composed? First of all, if you want to understand how the Talmud was composed, come to my Sharonim on Talmud. Surat al-Shmata, the way we studied in the good old days, and once I decided this way, you can never go straight to the end. Anyhow, how was this? There were 2 months a year, they called Yahya Kalla. And, of course, the Hakamim at Yeshua would probably preparing, during the 5 months, and the Hakamim from all over, including Israel, including Byzantium, North Africa, Syria, they would come and congregate for 1 month a year. And during that month, they would edit the Suviot of a particular Masechet. And I could have, I'm from Babel, but I'm from Babel, say, from the north of Babel, near Dea. And I'm not aware that in Surah, a different place, they have a different tradition. And then they come, they accommodate this, and they debate it, and at the end they have a sugya. One of the most beautiful things you ever, which you never go to study if you go to start to one of the regular issues, is what they call in Sephardic tradition, Surah Tal Shmata, or the Shmateta, the structure. And you see how one phrase comes from this country, from this place, and that from that, and then how it's added afterwards, and then you see how the sugya is a word of, I say, interlacing of different traditions, and it was done in public, and then it was voted, and then you vote for the sugya, and the sugya becomes gemara. Gemara is a legal term. It means final approval, no addition, no subtraction. Yes, you told me a nice word in English.
Closure.
get close to. Yes, it's close, it's this, that's it. It's the Gemara. So it was done in public. The Gemara was not published in the cloister of some, No, it was in the open Yahek Allah. Yes, and the Agalot that you have, a beautiful Agalot, is because there were people also who wanted to be in the faith. And they wanted to tell stories and this and so on. And that was the Agalot. Read that chapter, it's a great chapter. The Talmud was not written at the Yeshivot, was written at the Yahek Allah. That's what the Sephardic tradition maintains, and I think it's a very interesting point and should be taken in consideration.
I wanted you to talk about it.
Alright, so you asked me a question. Ask me a question. About what I didn't hear is about Pax Romana and Pax Araga. So you explain, I forgot.
I just thought that as it's the result of the system.
Very importantly, Pax Romana, and with all the Kabbalah that we have for Jesus and all the religions, all so nice, so beautiful, yes, and the man here, old baby. But actually, Jesus is portrayed as a cosmocrator. Read the apostle in the Apostle John, he's going to come with a sword and fire and go to kill everybody that doesn't obey him. Pax Romana is established by the might of the sword. The Pax Hebraica is going to be affected by the understanding of the law, by understanding the meaning of peace, by understanding the implication of what war is. But for this you have to read, I have a chapter about the difference between Pax Romana and Pax Hebraica. And there are consequences for this. Are you permitted, a man is permitted to carry Shabbat ornaments. Yes? Right? We don't carry ornaments. In America we don't like, we don't wear ornaments. But in the Middle East and so on, in the antiquity of pre-modern times, men would also use kind of jewelry and so on. What happens if you have a sword? Could the sword serve as an ornament? No, it didn't. Any, that's the halacha. Because this is taiva. They don't even want it. And says, well, what happened with the Mashiach? Says the Mashiach, there will be no sword in the Mashiach. Yes? Meruah hapo. He's going to explain things. It's different than Jesus, the cosmocrator. You know what the word cosmocrator means? Ruler of the universe. The Mashiach, as Ramon says, the Mashiach is going to be a Mashiach for Am Israel. And we will serve, I hope, as a model. Yes? And again, it's the supremacy of the spirit, of the mind. Zero. Because Emunas Chachomim eventually meant not to have Emunah and Chachamim. That's a hierarchy, that's the point we have Christianity, we could become Christians. Yes. If the Torah is abracadabra, you don't understand it. And Christianity for you as a Jew is also abracadabra. And then what's the difference between having Emunah in some man whom you understand, by definition you can understand because it's so great that you can never understand, and some in the clergy, there's no difference. Emunah Chachamim, first of all, means not to have Emunah de Chachamim. That's a forgery. Means what Emunot the Chachamim had. That's a different story. Yes. And Emunah Chachamim means a hierarchic society in which we don't no longer believe in God, to ourselves, but we believe on what they tell us to believe. And therefore, in point of fact, is my sediment of him, I have an image of God. Yes? My image of God is not, cannot reach God. I have to reach it through this guy that I know it has a funny beard, and it cannot read Hebrew, And he doesn't understand the Talmud. He tells all the things that he doesn't understand. But many times that he makes mistakes. And so you have to have emunah. He said, what is the difference between this and Abraham about the idols? He said, these are idols. You know, simple idols. Yes. And so I emunah b'chomim, zero. And what is the other thing that you said? That's all. Yeah, that's what was said by Paul, the spirit of the law. Yes? The spirit of the law. Not the law, but the spirit of the law. You know what? The no, that's not true. That it was invented by about 100 years ago. It was it's invented, and it has no room in halakha. That Torah permits people who are who never read Turbet Yosef to make Saracha and the Das Saracha. Yeah? But the Tur doesn't stay like this. The Bet Yosef doesn't stay like this. The Great Possible. So, we have Das Torah is a nice way to say we believe in Paul, the Spirit of the Lord. And Shabbat could be made on Sunday. And circumcision is of the heart. And kashrut means, I don't know, green words. That's Torah. It's nonsense. Yes?
I just wanted to add
this. No, 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 no. I mean, you're not going to find the Shach says. The Shach says, this is Basavi Halab, and this is Das Torah. Never! Never! Das! Or any of the great Hakamim, they never use the word Das Torah. I see people who don't know Halakha, and they speak about Das Torah. They don't know Halakha. Read to me the Shach. Cannot read the Shach. Instead of this, they read Das Torah. So the Rabbi says, so, they have sometimes bad humor. They're talking about Bil'am. He says, Bil'am, Da'at Elyon. Bil'am, no, Das Torah. And the Hakami says, Hashta da'at havoro lo yada. Da'at elyon yada. And some of these last stories don't know the last of the wives. They're always fighting with their wives. So obviously they don't know the last of the wives. And they cannot just be the last of their own last of the children. That was the last Torah. That Torah was explicit by the Hakamim. And you have it in, if you want to know the last Torah about Halakha, Obesh Haruch, Shach, Tas, Harvim, and that's the way you know that Torah. Yes.
I've seen the Pesach Halakha illustrated. There's a new Pesach Halakha from Israel. I won't mention names, but it's all over the yeshiva. That if the yeshiva bocher should go to Minyan, and he realized they left his hat at home, then the new Halakha is he should go home and pray Yachid. He shouldn't pray to Minyan because
he started with the head. So, by the way, in a true rabbinic community, the Sanhedrin is called Eneha Haida. And there should be an organic relationship between the rabbis and the community. When you said the rabbis set themselves as a hierarchy above the community, they cut themselves from the body of Israel. And the same Elohim of Mr. blah blah blah, if there's only one Elohim, and we are all the same Elohim, and we don't agree with our Christian brothers that the same Elohim was deepened by eating the forbidden fruit, that means that your same Elohim, my same Elohim, and the Elohim of Mr. Abracadabra is the same Elohim, because there's only one God. And your understanding is like everyone. So now we're going to rule, make a law. How are we going to do it? For practical reason, I love him that thought. And I love this whole idea of Menisa. What's the purpose of Menisa? Never to prove. Persuasion, not demonstration. We try to persuade your way. Notice. And there's another thing about Menisa. Elu de Berim Hayim. When you come to the idea of Melissa, there's no superior or inferior. We come with the premise that your opinion and my opinion, the Reyon Hayim. Now, we have to find a rule, and therefore we go to vote. And when you vote, and there, if you're against me, I'm the minority, I will be happy always, that's the idea. Have not been at all.
One second.
Yes.
Can you elaborate?
Yes.
On the idea of critique within rabbinic culture, as you presented, in the context of, I'm going to go back to the Passover Manah, to how Paul, as you show in the book, appropriated this idea, and you go into the whole history of how it was only Jewish law that he was rejecting, and not Roman law, and how this ended up influencing.
Yeah, the truth is that Paul has a very strong critique of the Jewish law. And critique coming from non-understanding. I show very clearly that I have almost today I finished the first chapter of a new book called The Naked Proud. Yes? And there I show that Paul was never circumcised. I prove it. He was not circumcised. I prove that he could not read Hebrew. He knew the Bible only in Greek. That's very important. Anyhow, the criticism that he makes of the law is of the Jewish law. He could not understand that there is a law above government. There is a law that is enforced because you wanted to enforce it. Which depends the policeman of the Rabbi Hashamai is the individual's conscience. And by the way, we're the first people in the world, we have the laws of privacy. Nobody could break into our door. Listen what we said just in the last Shabbat, a few days ago. Shofetim v'shoterim titenet have koshe alecha. What do you mean the word shoter? What, say, huh? Police. And what is the root of the word shoter?
Shetar.
And what is the shetar? A document issued by the court. So it means the shoter has to have
a written.
That's right. Otherwise, you can't go. And who writes this to the shofet? The police? The king? The Betim. Shofetim v'shoterim. Shofetim v'shoterim. The shoter is under the authority of the shofet. Not under the authority of the king. Who is under the authority of the king? The Sabah. When we want to know if somebody wants to quit the Sabah, the army, the same parasha. Whom we send there? Soldiers? To redeem the soldier? No, the shoter. The Kohen reads it. He says, well, I never bind the shoter. The shoter has even right to come into the army. You want to serve? No problem. You come with us. So we are a people in which the shoter, if there are a question of privacy, nobody could break into the door and not have a hedush. My opinion, the mezuzah means butt off. This is sacred territory. This is my home. And the proof for it is that the mezuzah is the symbolic representation of the dam in Pesach. And this dam in Pesach means even the malach ha-mavet has no right to enter into my premises. God grant me this home. Privacy. I have a lot of material about the Jewish concept of privacy. When they said, Hanistarot, la'ayoenu. We are the only brother. You cannot enter into Hanistarot. Harambam and others say, Chobot ha'levavot are not enforceable by the court. It's a matter of conscience. You may be wrong, but cannot be enforced.
So how has that been transformed apropos of the question of God's story?
Inquisition. We learn from I want to tell you something. I have an appendix dealing with semantic assimilation. We don't study the Bible. No more study the Bible. You see what? Don't study the Bible. No more Bible. Yes. So therefore, the fortress, the way that we preserve our semantic our Jewish semantic, and we prevent it from semantic, it was by studying the Torah. You know the Bible in Hebrew. And therefore, your ideas were shaped by the same ideas that shaped the mind of David and Shlomo and Moshe Rabbeinu, etc. No more Bible. Once that we don't study the Bible, we grasp the semantic of the environment around. And by environment around, I don't mean Harvard and Yale and etc. I mean Borough Park, etc. And those ideas to become the formative values in our mind, and then we project those ideas into a Talmud that we don't know how to read. Simply don't know how to read. There is among the rabbis that I met, I never met a rabbi that you could read a line of the Talmud without making gross grammatical mistakes. So they told me about Das Torah. Read Tehillim. Read to me a pasuk in Tehillim. I know I mentioned one yeshiva. I don't want to remember, but you'll hear that if you want to study Tanakh, there were some of our boys from America went to that yeshiva and they want to study Tanakh. So I thought, in the annex, give us a teacher. No, it has to be a teacher from outside the yeshiva. Not Tanakh. No, that's Torah. What Torah? And then they tell me, Rabbi Utam says that if you study Talmud, you don't know how to study Tanakh. That's not exactly, because this is an alphabetic way to study Rabbi Utam. Rabbi Utam was one of the great poets, was a great Talmid Chacham, a super Talmid Chacham. Alright? And what he was saying is like this. You study everything. Of course you went to school, you study Tanakh and so on. But there is an obligation to always to divide your day into three parts. One of them is Torah Shebichtav, then there is the Mishnah, and then there is the Halakha, or Talmud. And says Rabbi Utam, by us, Anashnu, talking about the people of the rank of Rabbi Utam, I don't have to study Tanakh every day. When I study Talmud, the precious man. You know who said also the same idea? Harambam. Harambam said the same thing. Rabbi Utam was talking about little children who cannot know the difference between Dagesh Hasak and Dagesh Kaal. He's talking about people like him. He said, Anashnu. Yes? So there is no excuse for not studying Tanakh. Yes?
Thank you for the talk. You speak about in the generalities about Judaism is this and that. And I'm wondering if you mean primarily biblical Judaism, rabbinic Judaism, or the whole thing.
Yes.
For example, you quote quite the majority. That's what I mean by thought. In Peshatim, it says,
first of all, I deal with it in the reader. But this is a great thing. Ultimately, the text is what the people understand. And the people understand the Halal Rabbim Latot to mean Halal Rabbim Latot. So, we are not dealing, you see, when we are in a horizontal society, ruled by Menisar, ultimately, the text in itself means nothing. The text means how it is registered in my mind, in the mind of the public. And whatever God had in mind, from our point of view, is secondary. And when it was in one occasion God wanted to intervene, in the famous Gemara, they say, God thanks, but don't thanks, and Lo Hashemai Mi. So the text, don't forget that this text is only consonants. It means nothing outside the mind of a reading public, and that's why Moreh Shaken Ilat Yaakov, and that's why the true Torah, Seliha, as the Rabbah says, is the Rabbi. The Rabbi that because he knows the Torah. He's not the Sefer. He's the one who reads the Sefer. And the one who reads the Sefer, you know, is the one who at that moment gave birth to the Torah. The Torah is born at the moment that you read it.
But then there's no constraint and anybody can say anything.
Not anybody. You can say anything that you think it is, but for halakha, which is the norm for the public, you need a bit, there's the whole thing and so on. But you could believe in anything you want. And that's why, contrary to Yamshir Shlomo and all that, I can give an explanation to the Torah totally different than the traditional explanation. If I believe it, it's yours. And you could persuade me. That's your interpretation is the correct time, try to persuade you or not. But for halakha, that's a public law. Public law, we need the Bedin. And the Bedin, yes, again, is a higher of that thought. But you have the freedom to believe in this. That's why the Rabbeinu Rahi Ibn Fakuda, that Chobotan Levavot Vechot Ha'ivarim, is the most important for an individual, Chobotan Levavot. And nobody could tell you how to believe. I could try to persuade you. You could have to persuade him back, but there is no Taliban for Chovot HaLevavot. Thank God, yes, right. And I have an argument with the Kabbalah in the fifth session. My argument is not because Kabbalah is wrong. My argument is because those intermediaries try to impose by coercion. And haramot and all those things that they live. In the great Mekubalim, they never, never try to impose their views. And they understood that this is something very private. That's why I respect them enormously. And I mentioned that the great Mekubalim, like Harim or Rabbi Moshe Cordovel, Rabbi Moharahu, they never, and I bring what Teshuvah from Moharahu, that it was in a public place. And he said, should we do like you wanted to say? He says, no, do it like you say it. See, never, never impose it. The problem is not with the Kabbalah or with the Mekubalim. It's with the Shu'alim Ketanim that is trying to be Adah, to coerce the people.
Okay.
I want to tell you something very important for us today. Haramam says, after the closure of the Talmud, we have Badet Dinim Shel Yechidim. And in your community, your Badet Dinim Shel Yechidim, because you appointed them, are as good as the community in his community as one. And therefore, that machloket is not a machloket. It's like municipalities in different states. Today we don't have a federal court. And therefore the machloket is not a real machloket. It's not that, because he is legislating for that community. In your legislation for that community. And as I say, for example, I would be for vice in Pesach. But if I am an Ashkenazi community, or Ashkenazi Moroccans, or some Moroccans don't eat rice, I will not eat rice. I will follow exactly, because they have the Beit Din. And therefore the machloket was not a machloket until late we started thinking in Roman Catholic terms. And as we, this Rama is no longer a Rama, he's almost a Pope. And therefore, in your place, he has to rule over your community, but your different community, what gives you right? See? So the word, but the dinim shel yechidim, that's what Rambam says. In our country we do this way, in the other country we do the other way. My opposition is, and I believe it, if Maran would have been in Krakow at the community of Ramah, he would have done exactly like Ramah. And if Ramah would have been in the community of Maran, he would do exactly like Maran. Yes, there is no geometrical thing. Alright? And every community tries to do the best. Yes? And they see it from their own perspective. And people from the outside sometimes they cannot understand the mechanics of this community. Let them be. Yes? That's more or less the thing.
The second question I had, for example, in Nazis, time, we talked about following up with whatever it takes, the right to the left. And then we see where she comes back, even to say left and right, left. But we don't need influence today. We're seeing. But I thought it was again.
No.
I
think
it's
taken
from a vertical perspective,
but the Rishami stands. Of course, I explained, I have it in a book in Hebrew called Hirim Bevisheta Rambam, which I explained this very well, and explained the Sifre and so on, etc. Whatever it is. I think there's a gentleman there that
will tell us. Before we get to that one, we discussed the concept you had mentioned to me of Mishpat Hebei.
Yes.
And I think that based on the group and the questions, I think that that would be very relevant.
All right. At this point, yes.
Discuss that.
All right.
With the Dal Torah,
yes.
We should get to Mishpat Hebei.
I tell you, I am a faculty member at Netanya Law School, and also at the Talmud Department at Bar Ilan University. I think I'm the only person who is both a professor of Talmud and professor of law that I'm aware of. And when I came to Israel in 1994, alright, I was very fortunate to, within a few months, I was appointed full professor of law in Netanya Law School. And the interesting thing I didn't know at the time, to be a full professor you have to, that's what I was told. You had to be recommended by a member of the Supreme Court of Israel. I didn't know anybody in the Supreme Court of Israel. So the person who was interested in me said, don't worry, there's somebody who read your thing. And I forgot about it, and I was appointed full professor. And later on I found out that Judge Barak was the one who prepared some of my things, whatever it is they liked. I tell you what is the Mishpat Hebei. There's a group of many, yes, professors of rabbinic, with rabbinic background, that they believe that the Jewish law, halakha, could be, if properly formulated, intelligently formulated, become part and parcel of the legal system of Israel. And that is called Mishpat Hebei. And we try to formulate those laws and do it through persuasion. Yes? To show how the halakha, properly formulated, properly explained, could be an integral part of the civil legal system of Israel. And you know what? I believe that that is one short way for the Mashiach. Would take maybe 100 years, but eventually, we believe large parts of the Jewish legal system, the Hoshem Mishpat, yes, will become part of this. Now I'm going to say something. Every rabbi will come to hate me. You know what I think? That the civil legal system in Israel, with all the flaws, has less flaws than the Bedin today in Israel. Some of the Bedinim in Israel don't always make it to Hashem. And therefore, the courts, I think they would be more punctilious and less prone to political motivation than some of the Bedinim today. So there is this whole idea of the content of Jewish law is fantastic, but the packaging sometimes is scary, or people do not understand. Or always every other word is God and this and Kingdom and blah, blah, blah. That's not the way it works. The law could be explained, and by the way, we have the oldest system. Don't forget that we have laws about buying real estate from the time of Abraham Avinu. So we have this, and continuously, was uninterrupted for millennia. So that is what the many people, I'm one of them, that they try the explain that. And I was the professor of Mishpat Hebrei at Netanya Law School, principally family law and inheritance law. in terms which are practiced by the, or could be practiced by the civil court, because the civil court in Israel recognizes rabbinic law in family law, and inheritance, you could ask that you want to inherit this according to Jewish law, and they will grant you this. Nothing to say. But Knesset in what? We're talking about the Knesset of Israel, the Parliament of Israel, you mean today, or no, the ancient word of Knesset? Oh, the word Knesset from which Beit Knesset comes is a house in which the people congregate. The idea of congregation that we have in Protestant tradition, yes, is come, people congregate. And because they congregate, they decide what to do. I don't know how it was in Ashkenazic tradition, but among Sephardim, all the takanot, they were not done by the rabbis. The takanot were all members, they would get, and they had parnasim. And the parnasim, they were the lay leaders. And they would enact takanot, gezerot, many of them to do with economics or with world things, and the rabbis, they could disapprove. Only you could disapprove by showing that this particular takana or gezerah runs contrary to the law. But the Knesset were the people who had the right to vote and so on. For instance, many things and many of the takanot. I'll give you an example of a takana that was done in Halab, but it was done in other countries. It was a takana that a woman, those days Jews were not so bright. They didn't have the idea of color bonds. They didn't understand what color bonds is. Alright? You know, today one of the great problems that the jury is facing is color bonds. He will explain to you. Yes? And, but one thing that bothered the Jews is that some women will come to the Beit Knesset dress as if they're going to being as models for Vogue magazine. So what is the problem with that? Other people are poor. And the ladies which didn't have much money, they felt like second class in comparison to the other ladies in the Beit Knesset dressed in such a pomp. So they had a takana not to dress over a certain amount of money. Alright? Now that was in my intelligent takana. Didn't cover the collar bones, but it was efficient. Also there was another takana, a great takana. That the outside of the houses, all the houses from the outside should look the same. You could have a palace inside, but they're from the outside. So they had this takanaot, and the takanaot were made by the public, and they enforced by the panasim, were lay leaders. Alright? And I'll give you an example. They always talk about Spinoza. You know who put their hand on Spinoza? Not the rabbis. The panasim, the Mahamat. And the problem was because they thought I was a troublemaker. I bring this in my, what's his name, in the set of history. Alright? So they had a powerful thing. And witness for the rabbis. In Halab, there was somebody related to you, through the Kabasso. His name was Meir Kabasso, I think. One second. No, maybe I'm talking about in the First World War. Listen to this. There was a Hazan Meir Kabasso. He was the Hazan, I think, of the case. All right, that's the story. And there was a rabbi that they just brought the rabbi. And in those days, if you are Hazan, you don't have to go to serve in the Turkish army. Alright? So he was a Hazan. So the rabbi wrote to the nominated somebody else as a Hazan instead of great-great-grandfather, whatever it is. And you know what happened? The Ma'amad, they came to the Parashim and they defrocked the rabbi. There was expelled the rabbi from the community. The Rabbi Rashid, because he made something against the Hazan. So they were powerful.
Well, when you speak about Spinoza, yes, you can speak about what happened between Motera and Menachem in Israel.
All right, that's in a different occasion. I cannot do this because...
But it pertains, yes, you know, one was exiled.
Yes.
In other words, the Ma'amad,
yes,
at that time in Amsterdam, yes, took on the rabbi.
Oh yes, powerful, powerful. And also, not only in the heart of the presidency, yeah, Isaac Shalom is somebody about Isaac Shalom. Who would go against Isaac Shalom? As long as Isaac Shalom was alive, you know, nobody said anything wrong about me. None of the rabbis. Only when he passed away. So there were the Muhammad.
That one didn't quite work out to our advantage.
All right.
You went down, you lose.
Yes, but Isaac Shalom was very powerful, and there was the nobody. With Isaac Shalom. That's it? Yes.
Question on back from the right of the sword.
Might versus right. We believe in right, not in might.
Right.
I'm Israel.
In that regard, how do we understand the command for Jewish conquest?
Oh, very interesting. First of all, I write it about it in this section. Lehorish in Hebrew. Lehorish, Vihashtem Ta'ares, Lehorish, Yerusha, doesn't mean exactly to inherit, means to depossess. Let me explain. Suppose your grandfather bought a house in Bronx, or, I don't know, a ranch in Texas, and people, squatters came to the place, and you are the rightful heir. Jewish law, and the thing it was in America, sometimes you come with the trespassing, yes, you have the right to expel the squatters. Rightly or wrongly, the Jews view the Eretz Israel as the Yerusha. This belongs to Abraham, Ishaq, Yaakov, and these people are squatters from the point of view of Jewish of law. And therefore, the owner of the land is not the king who conquered. It's not Yeshua. It's always God. Adonai Lachem Lachem. Yes? And I deal with it in a beautiful chapter in which, what happened with Shemuel? You remember with Shemuel, when the people wanted a king? And he said, no. And then he said, came to God, says, well, right, if they want it, let them have it. If you pay attention, the Torah says like this. In Perashat Ki Teseh, it says like this. No, I'm sorry, that is to say in Shofetim Shofetim. It says, Ve'aya ki tavo el ha'aretz, v'yashtem, v'yashavtem ba, v'amartem, somasim alai melech, kechol ha'goyim. So first you have to depossess the land, Vishaptem, and then you could have a king. The people of the time of Shemuel wanted to have a king before depossessing the land. And he says, we want a king that he should go and fight our wars. We didn't want that the king should fight our wars. Why? Because then the king would be like William the Conqueror, the sole owner of the real estate of England. And he will have imperium and dominium over the people. So, the land, we believe, we were wrong, that the land is our Yerusha, and we have Lehorish, means to take the squatters out of the land which was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Alright?
By the sword,
necessary. By the sword. But the basis of it is not a sword. It will offer peace. Alright? In the same way, again, your grandfather bought a house in the Bronx. You don't have the court, the court brother. But before the court, I think like one time in America, in New York for sure, you had like in Texas, somebody trespassing your land, you chase them out. Yes, it's squatters. But from the point of view of Jewish law, they were squatters. And we offered them to go. And that, exactly. Just like America imposed its views upon the American Indians. Alright? With the difference that America was never a year south yes. Alright? But we imposed it, yes. I think that one third, there's interesting statistics, one third of people in the Indian reservations, I don't know if it's today is valid, one third of the youth in the Indian reservation commit suicide. Did you know that? Did you know that?
I did not know, but did they say
why? Makes a difference, why? One third of the population, of the young population that commit suicide. So we should not criticize, we should criticize Israel and so on, but, you know, we should look a little bit on our side of the... Yes. No, yes, the one with the one with the black kippah.
I want to ask about you made earlier reference to the conscience, as well as the our conscience, and there's some primitive views about that we have about natural law.
No, you need not first of all the word nature. That appears in the Talmud. Nature appears in the Middle Ages. Yeah. So we don't have natural law because we don't have the word nature. And the natural law is only if you don't have a legal system. When you don't like your legal system, then you claim in the legal system has not legislated something. You say, but your honor, natural law. Natural law is a theological concept. No court of justice in America, and I have two lawyers here.
By the law of Berkeley.
Yes, that would allow you to argue a point on the basis of natural law. Would it?
Oh, yeah,
equitable, but that's natural. If you would, in Hebrew you have achitah yasav atov, which is equal to equitable law. But if you would mention your honor, natural law, probably would throw you out of court. Yes. So natural law is a question of theologians and philosophers, and most legal systems do not accept the concept of natural law.
And also the word for nature in Hebrew, this you say in Golden Dawn,
yes.
Teva,
yes.
Is the whole...
It's a different thing. Matbea. Has to do with Matbea. Yeah. So we don't have natural law. Although many people argue natural law, I wrote an article about against natural law when I was a young boy. And still I maintain, I think, I also wrote in Hebrew also an article about natural law, if you're interested in so on.
But all the students of Leo Strauss run the country now.
Yes.
So we have...
There was this guy who was thrown out because he hired one of his...
They come back.
They
all come. You know how many students he had?
No, I don't know. But Leo Strauss was a great, great scholar, but I met him only once in my life, and I read many of his books, or all of his books, or most of his books, and yeah.
So if that's the case, then the majority of the people understand the Quran a certain way, and the court legislates, even though it may not be sort of speaking in accordance with one's conscience, that would still be the law. And, but what if it was
unequitable?
Is that feasible,
and that's why... Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I believe that we are a true democracy. Now, I mentioned the word, because I didn't want to go into details, Shirosha Ketarim. You remember I said Shirosha Ketarim, Ketel Malchut, Ketel Kemna, Ketel Torah. But I skipped one, Ketel Shem Tov. וכשזה קטע של טוב עולה על גבם. The word גבם is a little bit difficult because גבם means somebody monitoring or supervising. It means something extraordinary. And I show this in this book. Yes? The three Katarim, they have authority. But they are under the vigilant eye of Ketnes and Tov, which is a dialogue with the people. You can't just impose the law. It's a kind of... Posner came out with an interesting... I forgot the words I used, but something like public reason. Ketnes and Tov is a public reason. You know? And you have to explain your things with a public reason. If somebody dialogue and so on. And don't forget that the best advice was given by Shlomo HaMelech, Derachei Alachenoam, Becholeti Betei Shalom. We don't impose it. If you impose it, we will not have blessed for 2,000 years. There was no police in the Jewish ghettos, Sephardim or Ashkenazim. Yes, was done through persuasion, through public reasoning. And that's why it is incumbent upon the three Ketarim to bear in mind Ketar Shem Tov. What makes America America? I once I gave a fantastic class in Netanyahu School comparing the U.S. Constitution with that of Colombia and the USRR. Right? Now, you know which constitution appeared as the most liberal, the best, the most fantastic? USRR. USSR. And the other one was Colombia. And America appears in comparison to the bombastic. The difference between the U.S. Constitution and other constitution is not the Constitution. Is in the people who are vigilant and want the judges and the government to render account and to explain why this is not against the Constitution. It's the people. Without the people, the Constitution is a piece of paper. And that's what the Hakamim say, Keter Shem Tov, Olei Al Gabam. And this is public opinion, public reason. You don't impose yourself. And that's what happened. Yes? I'll give you an example, a fantastic example. Rabbeinu Gershom. But a little bit over 1,000 years ago, he came up with an idea, which in those same those days they seemed extravagant and so on. You know what idea? It makes no sense. That a man should not marry two women. Makes no sense. Correct? No sense. That's why I say I gave this lecture when there were Arabs and then I explained all about the view. And you know what is a fantastic thing about it? Nobody was put in a harem. No fights, no revolutions, no Taliban forces. And through persuasion, the entire Jewish population accepted the norm. Sephardim, Ashkenazim, Temanim and Italim. It took time, but it worked. Why? Because it was not imposed by force. As soon as you're going to impose it by force, you're going to have a backlash. Now we have only one wife. But but what I wanted to say is that how was it done? It was done in the proper way. And because it was done in the proper way, it lasted. So, Chalas, say Rabbi, anyone wants to say Kaddish? Need to say Kaddish? No? So, no Rabbi Hananiah? No, we don't invite Rabbi Hananiah. Or we invite him. Oh, I talk to you. So, it was a pleasure, really. And read the book. If you enjoy it and you have some criticism and so on, you know, it is. And I'm so happy that you're here. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone for coming.
Again, we thank the Chacham. 7 years it took me to get to this. So we have the book. We have the lecture. A rare moment.